Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Super Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and John Dalmayan, please just shut the fuck up right now, please. And with me, I have...
Arrest the cops who killed Breonna Taylor.
And...
You know, let's just attack the throne god now. Let's just do that shit.
You know, politicians say that like it's a bad thing. Honestly, I'm kind of looking forward to inevitably doing that.
Yeah. But I wonder if we end up on somebody's list. With our name spelled wrong.
I've always wanted to be on a list. But, anyway, yeah, so... We're here, this is episode 179. Presumably there's not much to talk about in terms of formalities, because everybody still has their eyes focused on, you know, the various Black Lives Matter protests that have been going on, you know, for the past couple of weeks. Even still continuing now, as it seems as though, you know, governments and, you know, police departments are forced to make concessions as you guys are fucking losing.
Yeah.
At least I would like to hope they'd lose completely.
Police.
We're getting close.
Yeah, or at least, like, we're showing signs of winning, but we can't back that now. We gotta, work hard on that shit.
Yep, just consistent, you know, sustained pressure from all sides, and we're starting to get some results. Not all the results, but some. So clearly,
we're getting there.
It's working.
Yeah, it's
on
working.
On some level.
There's progress being made, but just know... The easy path isn't always the best path. You got to put in the work, because if you want change from top to bottom, you have to actually get the change in there from top to bottom. We're making good steps, but we're just making small steps of what is probably a 20,000 foot tall issue.
Yes, yes we are. But we'll just have to see and get... You know, see how all this develops in the coming weeks. Anyway, so yeah, we're just going to move on from there, getting into our usual business on this podcast, starting, of course, with the new song discussions for the past week. As always, there will be a link down in the description so you can follow along with the various songs that we'll be discussing here. And, of course, first up, right up at the top, our usual weekly dose of 2 minutes to late night bedroom covers. As we mentioned before, the description of this particular video has links to the various, you know, protester and bail funds related to the various Black Lives Matter protests. The song here in question is a track called Running Up That Hill, originally by Kate Bush. Now, for what it's worth, never listened to Kate Bush. I can't even say that name sounded very familiar before this cover popped up in my sub box, but as far as the original song, it's alright. Seems like it's a pretty typical, you know, new wave kind of jam from the 80s, about what you would expect from that era. And as for the musicians lined up on this one, once again on drums, Santos Montano from Old Man Gloom, Emma Ruth Rundle from Marriages, Red Sparrows, and the Nocturnes on vocals, Aaron Reisberg from YOB on bass, and probably the biggest of all guest musicians here, Bill Kelleher of Mastodon fame on guitar, alongside Mr. Gorsenio playing guitar and doing backing vocals as well. The cover, again, sounds like what you would expect, mostly leaning on trying to preserve the sort of new wave-ish ambiance, mainly through the vocals, while the instrumentation, of course, kind of has that, you know, rough grit befitting of the various sludge influences from all the bands involved. Bouncing between that and the aforementioned ambience, as, you know, bands like YOB and Mastodon do tend to bounce back and forth between, pure heavy and, you know, elements of serene ambience, for lack of a better term, more cleaner parts in a sense. It's an okay cover. Again, it just sounds like what you expect. I don't really have much to say about the original song of the cover. It's all right.
Yeah, this kind of stuff is more my style compared to that Rocket Queen cover. Again, not a fan of that song as its original form, so, you know, whatever. Kate Bush is a name I always hear, but for some reason I've never done a deep dive on, so shame on me for that. But this cover is very strong and sturdy. It's filled with a very ethereal somberness to it, probably with its C minor arrangement. But yeah, I really like this. It's more good stuff from Mr. Gorsenio and company.
Yeah, and in case you're wondering, from what I've heard, apparently there is going to be, like, a CD compilation put out that, you know, gets all these bedroom covers together in one place. I think that got delayed a bit because of gestures vaguely at everything, but yeah, that's a thing that'll be happening sometime. So anyway, now we move on to our next track here. So as we remember, a couple months back, Shabazz Palace has dropped their newest album, The Dawn of Diamond Dreams, but it looks like they're not done yet with any new music, as we've had a new track put out this past week called Megachurch, which features someone named Staz the Boss, which I have no clue who that person is. I don't know a lot of things.
All I remember is I seen her name on the last album as well. I can't remember what track she was in, but it was at least as a, you know, pay what you want single from Sub Pop, as in like Bandcamp is to Bandcamp, and they're waiving their revenue share, as in Sub Pop is passing through, understanding their digital sales revenue of Bandcamp to all artists. So other so I guess that means we pay for it, they get the money, which is nice. And this song is nice, and this song is quite nice too. Though I will say it reminds me of those what G Funk used to sample, what most G Funk sounds would sample, like that very electronic synthy sound, which I was thinking a bit, which I like that style. And it actually did a couple of lyrics. Please don't ask me to call the lyrics, because I tried looking them up, I can't find it, or I tried looking at any lyric site, not just Genius, but. Yeah, I can't find what the hell they were saying, but it's the usual Shabazz Palace sound, which is just uniquely strange. So yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, moving on from that to our next track here, we have the latest entry in the Adult Swim Singles program. This from a alumnus of the program who had previously been featured a long time ago, the metal act Low Estate. If you're wondering how long ago this was back when the Adult Swim singles, and most Adult Swim compilations for that matter, were available as downloadable songs instead of just switching to a purely streaming model. Those days were. Yeah, and I think Low Estate was featured as like the quote-unquote bonus track to one year's particular compilation. But, yeah, here they are with a new jam, Servants of Progress, Slaves to Fear. And as expected, it is very, very filthy, grimy-ass metal, hinting on a lot of, like, sludge and black metal tendencies, you know, plenty of blast beats, that kind of thick, foggy sort of atmosphere, a lot of those echo-tinged, growling vocals. There are some, like, underlying post-metal elements in there, mixed in with a lot of these filthy grooves, which kind of makes sense. I'm pretty sure one of the guys in this band used to play in a band like Sandheads, who has that similar sort of vibe to it. It's, I dig it. Not as much as what I remember hearing from the Lone debut album they put out like 3 years ago, but for what it's worth, it's a solid song. By the way, I didn't know one of the staff members at friggin' Revolver Magazine was the vocalist in this band. Did you know that? I didn't know that. That's weird, right?
Yeah, Revolver's creative director. Yeah, that's pretty cool, and, it's heavy and more on the lo-fi end of things, so that's good, and, I don't have much to say about it other than the obvious, so.
So, anyway, for the next, for our last 5 songs that we're going to be talking about here, yeah, we're, of course, delving back to the realm of musical protest anthems against, police brutality and just systemic racism in America. And who better to get things started than one of the Griselda boys themselves, motherfucking Conway the Machine.
Yes, so we know that, like, he made an EP, some months ago, and he got a new album coming out, I guess, soon, but this one's a Lucy track, which is called Frontlines, and if you get the song get a bit based off of, what's supposed to go into, as in, the whole situation with these deaths happening around, and he's going to give you the mindset of this point of view, which you got this beat put to production, with a solid beat put to production. Anyway, you get some choices like cracking bend the laws, that's why the system is flawed, cops killing black people on camera and don't get charged, we ain't talking no more, we just a prison record, come my brother, you got to kill us all, which I will say that that leans more heavy into the second verse for the song, which okay, like yeah, it is what it is. It's that, you know, it's what I expect from, you know, from coming from or anybody from Griselda, but not more than that cost. But yeah, this is a good track. Definitely something that can cut you deep when you think of the whole shit. But there's not enough of that. We'll get to that later on.
Moving on to the next protest jam here. This one comes courtesy of contemporary punk act The Menzingers, with a track called America Part 2, which is pretty much on its base. It's an acoustic interpretation / follow-up to the track America from their previous full-length album that I think came out last year, if I recall correctly. Of course, while the, you know, body of the instrumentation is just, you know, the same sort of melodic structure as the original track, the lyrics are, of course, adjusted to the events of the past several weeks of protests and, you know, just how fucked everything is and how terrifying it is to be in America because, you know, police and the fucking government can just do whatever the hell they want. And, like, what are we supposed to do about it outside of our protests? It does have some pretty good lines here and there. My personal quote of choice being, "I hope the devil and Donald and Mitch McConnell rot in hell for all tomorrows." It's an appreciated sentiment overall. That being said, maybe not best to have this as an acoustic jam, because right off the bat, you're kind of removing whatever bite and potency the song could have. Like, you're already kind of kneecapping things a bit, no matter how good the lyrics are. It's just like, you know, you kind of want some fire and ferocity of that usual punk nature to kind of go along with the lyrics. Which, we may have a track coming down the pipeline that does this better, but well, we'll get to that when we get to that.
Melodic punk folk. That's certainly a genre choice right there, but I can appreciate the intent, but we need less Bob Dylan and more Fever 333 going on right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah, hopefully that makes sense. Oh, and speaking of, remember when notable internet insane man and bootlicker Paul Joseph Watson once said that conservatism is the new punk rock?
Sure, Jan.
I look back and I laugh. I get really pissed off because people are just... Yeah, that's my new favorite term, bootlicker. Because people want to be oppressed. It's evident. Just yes. Look outside. Look at Huntington Beach. And, yeah, this song, good intention, not the best execution. It's... I can appreciate it for what it's trying to do. And yes, let us not forget that the fucking asshole in power had his establishment attorney general order tear gas to be thrown at the public so he can have a photo op in front of a church with a Bible in his hand, upside down.
And then Trump promptly got, you know, completely disowned by the freaking clergy of that church. We do not associate with this man. He does not represent our image. Fuck him.
We don't fuck with this nigga. Okay, well, him. Well,
and yet all he cares about are the bootlickers from Jerry Falwell's insane cult in Virginia.
Well, he has in his bunker, the little hole.
The bunker and the fence. He got everything he wanted. All the while, Billie Eilish is dunking on his ass as well. Rightfully so.
Yep.
And excellent. Along with all the K-pop stands and BTS. Yep. And the BTS fans who are actually matching $1 million of money to give to notable causes and charities. And John Cena. These are the people we should be associating with.
You know, I never thought I'd be happy for the existence of K-pop stands more than I am right now.
Yep.
Yep. We salute you.
It's like Sean Evans and Paul Rudd. Look at us. Who'd have thought, huh?
Who'd have thought?
Not me. Yeah, it's wild.
And speaking of wild, if acoustic folk-tinged punk isn't your thing, perhaps you need something with more bite. Perhaps rooted in the realms of crossover thrash or 80s hardcore punk classics. Well, we've got that right here. Now, a couple weeks ago, we talked about a spin-off project from the lads in Faith No More, that being Roddy Bottom's Man on Man, but there are various other side projects associated with that camp, perhaps one of the most notable being the Mike Pant-fronted group Mr. Bungle, who haven't really had any new material in at least 20 years. But shit has been so fucked in our society that it's made them, you know, come out of the hole of not having recorded new music, and we finally have the first new recording from them in well over 20 years. Granted, it's not an original track, but the times as they are, perhaps that original material can wait. Instead, what we have here is a cover of the track USA, originally written by a band called The Exploited, who are considered, you know, staples of 80s hardcore punk and one of the, you know, iconic bands out of, I believe, Scotland, if I recall from what I was reading. So, yeah, we of course have that track being covered. The original, as I said, the album in question is considered a classic of hardcore punk. It's a pretty aggressive, gnarly jam. Definitely, you know, amped up by that kind of, like, just thick, gnarly Scottish accent. Something about British accents just makes, you know, punk cut, like, that much harder. You know, unless you're, like, the guys in the Sex Pistols who, you know, still lived and grew up to be cunts. But that's another discussion for another day. And the cover itself is, it's appropriately fierce as you would expect. Patton's vocals, as always, having that extremely sharp bite to them. The instrumentation itself sticks pretty close to the original, although obviously the production is a lot sharper and punchier, you know, to fit in with contemporary standards. And it's just a goddamn rager of a cover overall. See, this is how you write punk music as a method of protesting, you know, just how fucked contemporary American society is. Take notes.
Yep. And to think, this was a song that was originally written almost 40 years ago, and it still holds true. That probably says a lot more about our societal systemic insanity more than anything else. Also, friendly reminder that The Exploited come from Scotland, so you can rest assured that their viewpoint of the USA is very much based on factual truth.
Absolutely. And now we got two more tracks to, you know, discuss here.
Oh, boy.
Of course. And these are some goddamn atom bombs of protest jams, especially considering the amount of star power that's going into this first one here. Mark, care to fill us in?
I don't know who Terrace Martin is. He's a well-known producer who produced music for such people such as YG, Snoop Dogg, and, Kendrick Lamar. So he teamed up with Denzel Curry, Kamasi Washington, G Perico, and Daylight for this protest song entitled Pig's Feet, or Pig Feet, if you will. So, the way it begins, yeah, it's pretty haunting. It's, when I say haunting, I mean like, it starts off with, you know, basically what you hear, a gunshot, a woman screaming, somebody's been shot. He didn't have a gun. Why he shot him? Like, basically, it's pretty terrifying thinking about the situation. If you're in a situation, and then of course you get Denzel's verse. Denzel's verse, which they're doing on this verse. He it does go hard. Concerned that I think his own brother got killed by police once, you can tell that he was definitely where that pain, all that shit come from. And of course one verse from Daylight, which I guess him and Denzel got the verse. Like, I think T. Perico has, like, he has something in there, but it was like a full verse. It's like maybe in the interlude, the last verse is also very profound too. And of course you get the sax from Kamasi Washington, it definitely catches, you know, the turmoil and pain surrounding what's going on. Considering the video just shows like footage of, you know, the protests, the police, what's going on around the protests, whether it be police doing their, you know, fucked up things, as in using tear gas, run them over, you know, the same shit you see on Twitter every day. And then the way it ends, which is scrolling with the names of the black men who have been killed by police, which it then goes on the last minute and 44 seconds. Even some of the parts where it says, name with help from police. And yeah, that's definitely the most fucked up part. It's definitely an atom bomb of a joint. Yeah, it's definitely something that's very necessary that we needed. And yeah, it's like what we needed.
I think the two lines that probably get to the heart of everything more than anything else are the lyrics, manipulate the system so that prison can save us, and shut down schools to open drugs and gun stores. Because, as previously mentioned, all of this stuff comes from the top down. The systems that control us spend all their time investing in, you know, police and, you know, punitive punishment of that nature, rather than in the kinds of social programs that, you know, could attack the problem at its source and actually meaningfully prevent crime without the need for police officers. It's basically like a fucking serpent eating its own tail, except, you know, with guns and fucking pig assholes. But now we got our last track here, this one being a Lucy track from none other than Meek Mill.
Oh yes, Meek Mill. Yeah, he released a single, well, Lucy track, was titled "Other Side of America," "Other Side of America." And given that, Meek, who has experience going to jail before, especially during a time where, let's be honest, we joke around him a lot back then, and he has grown, and of course now he's really an advocate of, you know, criminal justice reform and all that. And I will say the song which does work well within the song, and because the one thing that would get you angry during the start of it is the whole which he got President Bunker bitch, which sampled him, yeah. With the songs I'm on, you know, it's good for him growing up, like, you know, I ain't got a daddy, I wasn't suckers to say the same way that Ray Ray did. Twin Smith and AKs, that was just a great A kid, which basically growing up, decided that, well, living this more fucked up life, and if you're black, you're fucked, and it's definitely like. I say it is quite, you know, an atom bomb. I would say it's something that does hit if you been to that shit before, and you tell us who has been to that shit before.
Just a very powerful dichotomy at play, because while you have the most powerful individual in the country speaking passively to an audience of color with the term, "What do you have to lose?" Yeah, here we are now. And there's a line in the chorus that is pretty powerful. "Stomach growling like an AMG, going to bed, we hungry. Uzi on me, all my friends are dead, we lonely."
Lonely, or nigga.
Not only is that a very strong interpolation of, you know, XO tour life, that brings in some incredibly powerful imagery. This is a 3.5 minute long atom bomb of a song in every way, and I'd have to agree with Fantano's assessment. This is probably one of Meek Mill's best tracks he's ever put out.
Absolutely.
Yep, it is.
I don't really have much else to add myself. Just powerful shit.
Mm-hmm.
And. Yeah, that basically about does it for the new song discussion. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have some news topics, so stay tuned. And we're back. Now, as the news has grown with, attention to the Black Lives Matter protests, it's also worth noting that we are still in the middle of a pandemic. And, of course, people are already trying to put the spin with the most recent round of cases, saying, oh, it's because of the Black Lives Matter protests that cases are now spiking, ignoring that COVID-19 has a 2-week incubation period, likely brought about by all the dumb fucks that have decided to reopen their, you know, counties and cities early, like, say, Vegas. Everybody going to the beach on Memorial Day. Stuff like that.
Yeah, get dumb fucks. Y'all don't, of course they want to spend shit and just blame it on the thing that even, okay, you know what, at least some of them are trying to make sure they be safe. And here's the thing, if some protesters do get COVID, which I hope they don't, at least you said they spend time fighting for justice and not trying to go to the fucking beach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just imagine that, like, when everything's going normal, you know, the protesters just minding their own business, doing things peacefully, everything's fine, but then you get the cops involved, and they just start just hurling all kinds of gas and chemicals at people, pulling down their masks and spraying them in the face with tear gas in the middle of a pandemic that's been known to primarily cause respiratory complications. So I'm just saying, again, cops are bastards, all of them, even the stupid cops you're related to. But, getting back on topic, the latest victim of the COVID-19 concert delay apocalypse, easily the most stubborn of the holdouts, but it finally took him long enough, the much, air quotes, anticipated summer stadium tour of Motley Crue and Def Leppard finally got fucking postponed to summer of 2021. Took you long enough.
Wow, who could have ever seen this coming? You know, aside from literally everyone.
I never would have thought. How could this be?
And keep in mind, the overall quarantine has been going on for like 2 months, and it took them 2 months to finally say, you know, we should probably move this down the line. Friggin', you know, just rock star ego gets in the way of common fucking sense.
Yeah.
But one band that at least actually does have some level of common sense is the group Tool. As we all know, they were highly anticipating to go on a big North American arena tour to support Fear Inoculum. But unfortunately, they only got 2 shows in before the pandemic, you know, went full blast across the country. They finally made the decision, you know, they were expecting to postpone or reschedule like their peers, but instead, they decided to straight up just cancel the tour. And they actually had a very specific reason for doing so, tying into, you know, the various fuck-ups on the part of certain business entities. Namely, so that their fans could actually get refunds. Because, as I'm sure you know, various concert ticket outlets like, you know, Ticketmaster and especially Live Nation have been trying to engage in a lot of legal doublespeak in order to avoid having to issue any sort of concrete refunds to anybody whose tickets, you know, for shows were either, you know, delayed or just straight up canceled. Especially people who could probably use that money for short-term uses like, you know, food and bills. So, you know, yeah. Good on Tool for trying to upend a bullshit system from bullshit business practices and just, yeah, bullshit. What the fuck, Live Nation?
Yeah, this just reminds me that in an alternate timeline, like, say, New Zealand, next weekend I would be seeing Between the Buried and Me here in the city, but obviously that's not going to happen, and it probably won't happen for a while, and that makes me very, very sad.
Yeah. Shit, at this point, I'm straight up expecting My Chemical Romance to friggin' get canceled as well. There goes $100. Son of a bitch. Oh well, no one ever said I was smart with my money, so... Anyway, moving on to our next topic here. So, while on the subject of both the Black Lives Matter protests and COVID-19... ever since the pandemic started, Bandcamp has been engaging in a monthly tradition where I believe the first Friday of every month, they waive their share of fees that they get from any sales of an artist's album, so that way 100% of, you know, the profits from any given album sale can go straight to that artist. Just as a refresher for people who are unsure of how Bandcamp's, you know, profit revenue model works, they usually take 10%, so like, if you have an album that costs like $10, you sell like 10 copies of that album, you get $100, they get $10. So that's always been how it works. But to add on to the, you know, that particular monthly tradition, they've announced that this upcoming June 19th, they're going to be donating 100% of its share of sales to the NAACP Legal Defense Fund. Because as always, Bandcamp Bandcamp's editors and, you know, its staff have had a considerable, you know, radical left-wing bent, you know, railing against systemic justice in the country pretty much all the time. It's how they roll. So, yeah, that's a pretty cool thing to hear, and I'll have to keep an eye out for anything interesting on Bandcamp that's worth, you know, buying, at least personally for myself, as well as any sort of, you know, additional promotions that might further help the causes. But, yeah, not much else to add to that. So let's move on to something that's at least mildly humorous. So, there's a certain set of inevitable topics that come up whenever you mention the band Metallica. One of them being, of course, the collaborative album they recorded with Lou Reed, whose name honestly escapes me at the moment because, truth be told, I never actually listened to it.
I did. I can tell you that it's not as bad as everyone claims it to be. There are some good riffs hidden in there. You just got to dig through a whole lot of spoken word, stream of consciousness, old man ramblings to get to it.
Yeah. Look, what can I say? I never gave a shit about Lou Reed. I'm not 57. But, sorry, I'm being snarky here. But, anyway, if there's one thing that I was aware of from that album, it was the meme. The meme being the often quoted ridiculous lyric, "I am the table."
Yeah, that one. The Botchamania famous meme.
Good times. But you might be wondering why we're referencing tables here, and it's because James Hetfield, in the midst of this whole pandemic, has decided to not let his memes solely be dreams. Apparently, he's taken some, you know, time to do some carpentry, and he's, you know, done up a set of tables that he's actually raffling off for charity. He calls it, quote, the COVID collection. And according to a statement from, you know, the charity raffle site, quote, "During shelter in place, Metallica's own James Hetfield has used some of his time at home to hone a new creative outlet. He has designed and built a set of handmade end tables with all the welding and woodwork happening in his own garage. We are raffling them off, and one lucky winner will receive the set signed and personalized by James. Every $10 donation equals one entry, and all proceeds benefit AWMH and our work supporting the welding programs funded by the Metallica Scholars Initiative." Yeah, this is going to be going on until June 30th. So, yeah, if anybody wants tables made by James Hetfield for the sake of living the meme, you got until the end of the month.
Mm-hmm. And it's all for a good cause. It's all charity. And I agree with Axel Rosenberg. If nobody doesn't get it to be personalized with the meme written on it, then what are we all doing here?
You must shitpost to your maximum potential if you are participating in this. So some memes just can't go to waste. But anyway, speaking of not letting things go to waste, our last topic here. So just a quick refresher. Periphery 4 Hail Stan still kicks motherfucking ass.
Yeah.
But, of course, the guys are probably still keeping themselves busy in various other ways, especially during this whole pandemic, musical-wise. Especially Bisha Mansoor, because Lord knows that guy is on the grind so often. I wouldn't be surprised if he has a backlog that it could possibly rival Buckethead. Maybe not 300 albums in a single year, Buckethead, but he's got a lot. And we are apparently going to be hearing a lot, because apparently Mr. Misha's got 10 goddamn albums he's going to be releasing across the next few months.
Yeah.
Hmm. That's a lot of albums.
That is a lot of albums. 110 songs across 10 albums.
Oh, damn, wait, hold on. 110 albums. Wait, it's songs. 10 albums. So is that?
Yeah.
That's the average, yeah. 11 songs per album, that's the average, yeah.
Yeah, so, of course, as we all know, the bulk of Periphery material, or at least a good half of it, comes from a lot of demos that Mansoor recorded, you know, under the Bulb moniker. And, of course, he's been wanting to revisit this material for a while, and he's going to do so starting this Friday, in fact. So the releases are actually going to be going in backwards chronological order. The first of these releases, Archives Volume 8, dropping this Friday, and then new projects dropping on a bi-weekly basis in a backwards descending order. Of course, there's going to be, you know, like I said, it's backwards chronological. Archives Volume 8, And then going all the way to Archives Volume 1, October 2nd, that being the earliest, like, Bulb demos, which will be fascinating because I wonder how much of this might cross over, not just with his various side projects in and out of Periphery, but also, like, you know, within Periphery themselves, seeing how long these stuff, this material kind of, like, gestates and possibly influences that main project. There's also going to be a couple of, you know, in-between projects, one called Orchestral coming out August 7th, and one called Electronic coming out October 16th. Presumably, these ones probably won't be, like, you know, really genty-ass prog metal jams. I mean, they're named Electronic and Orchestral. What the hell else could that mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm curious about what this is going to be about. Not sure it's going to be album roundup level quality, but, you know, I'm all into this archival stuff going into the weird machinations of Misha Mansoor's mind and everything that lies therein. This guy's done a lot of work, and maybe one day we'll get that new remix of Icarus Lives with Spencer's modern vocals and hopefully a Nolly-produced sound. You know, a sound that isn't done through Line 6 pods and scratch vocals.
Oh, how long ago that was. Shit, that was more than 10 years. That was 10 years ago, I think.
Yeah, fuck. Yeah.
So, yeah, well, of course, I'll probably be tuning in to those, like, here and there as they drop. So, with that out of the way, there's the usual sign-off stuff and, you know, the new album releases for this week. But this week is dead like my hopes and dreams. There's literally only two albums worth of note for our relative interests or any interest in general. One of them being To Love Is To Live, the solo debut of Jenny Beth, the vocalist of Savages, and the, I believe, still currently untitled posthumous album release from rapper Pop Smoke.
Yeah, so, to think. This was the original release date for the Future Bites, but now it's not happening because the world has turned into bricks! Ugh.
God, if there was ever a time to hear Stephen Wilson commenting on the existential horrors of modern society. But I guess we'll have to wait. So, of course, time for us to sign out and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
Well, you can find me elsewhere for the time being. The Discords, the other show I do, this show, the website where I'm writing stuff, or at least I'm trying to write stuff, because, you know, as I mentioned, the world has turned into bricks. And, yeah, that's where you can find me. Connect with me so you can listen to what I have to say, which is not that much at all.
Right. Mark, what about you?
Well, I say on Twitter, but even on Twitter, I've just been retweeting stuff about, you know, the whole situation and shit, you know, between that and what I usually do, but I tend to want to, you know, make sure people get know this shit, but yeah, I'm still retweeting all that shit. By the way, I'm at Type of Media, and there's my site, which, well, y'all should know about now, and I still ain't posted shit since May 19th, I think. It's been like I'm still writing, but I ain't done nothing review wise. I thought about doing some shit review wise, but well, at least okay, at least stuff that's not music wise, like you should know, like, yeah, not a music review out on the site, but yeah, but I'm just, you know, just working shit out.
Right. Anyway, as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Rob Barracuda, email robert@superresolution.com, follow the website and Twitter @SuperReso, like us on Facebook, subscribe Google Play and iTunes, you know, just follow us in all those places, the Discord and all that. Mr. E, you know, producer, does the music for this podcast, links this shit down in the description. So thank you again for listening this week. We'll of course be back with the album roundup for May, and of course the usual weekly nonsense continuing forward. So yeah, thank you for listening, and until then, arrest the cops who killed Breonna Taylor.